Hi, I'm Josh James, and this is WUKY's Bookmarks. Today I'm joined by Julie Wren, director of the Kentucky Women Writers Conference, which is fast approaching. It gets underway in September. We'll get to that in just a bit. First, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Josh.
Now, you've brought along a couple titles, nonfiction titles, to share, because these are by authors who are slated to appear at the upcoming conference, I believe.
That's right. Both will give a reading, and they will also teach workshops.
Now, the first is a book of essays, and I'm already in love with the title of this one, The Unspeakable and Other Subjects of Discussion. Now, the topics in this range from really serious life and death matters to probably less controversial things like the author's love for dogs. So walk us through your experience reading this book.
Sure. Well, Megan Dom is a longtime columnist for the Los Angeles Times and the author of four books. This collection, The Unspeakable, refers to Dom's willingness to engage topics that others can be hesitant to speak about. She feels strongly that great writing will be loved by some and hated by others. And, for example, the first essay is entitled Matricide, about not liking her mother very much. I had a great relationship with my mother, so that essay didn't resonate with me as much. I would probably put that in the hate column myself. However, everything else in the book I really loved. The essay, The Dog Exception, is about loving her dog to an extreme degree, such that she sheds her usual skeptical persona and embraces all the sentimentality of pet culture. Another essay entitled Honorary Dyke is about her adventures with bisexuality. And there's one entitled On Not Being a Foodie about her rebellion against foodie culture. And many more.
I read an interview with the author where she said the theme, if there is one in the book, is about not being able to get with the program, you know, not following the script that we're supposed to adopt in certain situations. Did that come through for you too, reading it?
Absolutely. And really, what a real standout essay for me is one that I first discovered in a New Yorker essay last fall, which is also included in this collection. Dom has always felt that she would not make a good mother and would not enjoy being a mother. But she didn't want to entirely forsake involvement with the younger generation. She felt guilty about that. She didn't want to be perceived as selfish. So she tried volunteering for Big Brother and Big Sister, but ultimately found her niche as a volunteer court-appointed advocate for orphaned children in Los Angeles, and one boy in particular. We hear about her not always successful attempts to make a difference in his life. The essay is entitled Difference Maker. I found it so much more thoughtful in its engagement of this question of whether to have children. And it became the seed of another book that Dom edited, published this year, entitled Selfish, Shallow, and Self-Absorbed, 16 Writers on the Decision Not to Have Children.
And as you say, Megan Dom will be in attendance at the Kentucky Women Writers Conference, as will be Emily Bingham, who wrote the second book that you've brought with you, Irrepressible, The Jazz Age Life of Henrietta Bingham. And there is a relation there. I believe Emily is writing about her great aunt.
That's right. Yes. Emily Bingham is a biographer and historian who came of age in the 1980s during the power struggles surrounding her family's sale of the Louisville Courier Journal. Several books had been written about her family at the time, which was uncomfortable for them, and so Emily vowed never to take up her own family as a subject. But working on her PhD in history at UNC Chapel Hill, she uncovered details of her great Aunt Henrietta Bingham's colorful life, which became this book, Irrepressible.
And for the uninitiated, I guess give us a little sketch here of Henrietta, because she sounds like an F. Scott Fitzgerald character come to life.
Absolutely, absolutely. She was born in 1901 and so was perfectly timed to come of age during the 1920s jazz age. Her life was filled with tragedy. Her mother was killed in a car accident when Henrietta was 12 and was in the car with her, but also great wealth. That wealth came from her father's second marriage to a Standard Oil heiress. I was fascinated to learn the details of that episode, which I hadn't really known. His second marriage had a prenuptial agreement, but on that wife's deathbed, a codicil was written, and Bingham was bequeathed $5 million, a very large sum at the time. That inheritance came under many dark clouds and nefarious implications for the Bingham family, but Robert Worth Bingham withstood all that and used his newfound wealth to purchase the Courier Journal. He was also a key figure in the Kentucky Burley Growers Association, helping to get fair prices for tobacco at the time, and he was considered one of Kentucky's greatest public servants for his work with that. Meanwhile, Henrietta clashed with her stepmother to a great degree and also struggled at Smith College, where she was enrolled, and from what she did not graduate. But Henrietta's charisma was legendary. Her beauty, scintillating conversation, and tremendous sex appeal made her the object of many crushes and the life of any party. She also really stood out as a Southern white woman during the Jim Crow era who was a connoisseur of jazz music. And at parties, she would sprawl on top of a piano and play the saxophone. Moving to London in the early 1920s, she was a hit with the Bloomsbury Group, the bohemian artists centered around Virginia Woolf.
She sounds like a fascinating lady.
Yes, well, and loved by so many. So many letters wrote about her eyes, which were apparently extraordinary. She had love affairs with both women and men, including British sculptor Stephen Tomlin, Hollywood's John Houseman, her former Smith College professor Minna Kirstein, the British artist Dora Carrington. But her longest relationship was with tennis star Helen Hull Jacobs, whom Emily Bingham describes as the Martina Navratilova of her era.
And if you want to hear more, and there's a lot more to be heard about that story, well, you might want to attend the Kentucky Women Writers Conference. So I guess talk about what attendees can expect this year and how people can get involved.
Yes, the conference begins on Friday, September 11 at the Carnegie Center. It's a two-day conference with writing workshops, readings, panel discussions, and publishing seminars. Tickets can be purchased on our website or by calling 859-257-2874. We'll also sell tickets on site. We also have free events for four consecutive days for community members who would just like to come to something. For example, Ann Beattie's keynote presentation on Friday night at the Singletary Center is open to all. We also have a legendary poet, Sonia Sanchez, who was a key figure in the Black arts movement beginning in the 1960s. There is a biographical film about her life being shown at the Lyric Theater on Thursday night, September 10th, followed by a conversation with Sonia herself. So that's really a rare opportunity to meet another literary legend.
And if you'd like to find links to information about the Kentucky Women Writers Conference, just head to wuky.org. My guest today has been Julie Wren, director of the Kentucky Women Writers Conference. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks so much.